Awakened.
Conscious Conversations Podcast to help you grow and discover who you are, to develop a deeper, more complete side of yourself via conscious talks, self-love, meditation, and by interviewing some of the most inspiring guests on the planet.
shamanichealings.earth for more information.
Hello everybody, I'm your host, the Gentle Yoga Warrior, and today is going to be eye-opening. We have an interesting guest on the show today who is going to inspire you, I'm sure. Please welcome today author Joshua Marson-Gill, who is the founder of Abundant Encounters. Joshua has had supernatural encounters with Jesus. I was intrigued to speak to Joshua today, as he must be my first guest that I have spoken with who has had supernatural encounters with Jesus, and I'm very intrigued to find out what that entails. Our podcast, as some of you know, likes to interview people from a broad range of spiritual beliefs and experiences, and today's conversation, I feel, will open the door for those on a similar path to Joshua. On Joshua's website, Abundant Encounters, it reads that Joshua and his wife, Mary, offer the following services, which Joshua will share a bit more later in the podcast. All our services are designed to help support your personal journey into many real adventures with the reality of God in your life. Our services include one-to-one counseling and coaching, as well as team training and mission preparations to help your teams harness the power of healthy encounter culture. As you invest more into the practice of encounters, you will cultivate a lifestyle that will help you encourage God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit more often in your day-to-day life. God is not short on encounters, my friends. He is good, he loves you, and there's always more. So without further ado, join us from Selma, Alabama, USA. Please welcome Joshua Marson-Gill. Hello, Joshua. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks, Jane. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, I really appreciate you taking the time to speak to us today. So today, dear listeners, we're going to talk about supernatural encounters with Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit. Since this is a new-ish subject to me, I'm going to go straight into the interview with Joshua. Though I have seen Jesus in meditations, I'm going to go straight over to Joshua. He has the wisdom to explain more on encounters, etc. So, Joshua, could you please speak to us today about encounters, and can you explain what encounter is and how it came to happen in your life?
Yeah. So, you know, the good news, I guess, is, you know, God is actually real. So, you know, I'm just happy to share that part. I was an atheist when I was 27. And pretty happy. I mean, not happy, but just kind of in a discouraged way. I was, you know, just frustrated with my life and those kind of things. And wasn't really looking for an encounter, but had a pretty radical experience, which something I would call an open vision. And in that vision, long story short, I saw Jesus, kind of like you did in your meditation. And when I saw Jesus, it really changed everything for me, just because there was something that was hard to explain. There was kindness in his eyes. And I was like, oh, I know nothing about you. Actually, everything I've heard from the church or whatever, it seems to be very, very off compared to what I'm looking at right now. And so, you know, I struggled with the idea that maybe I had like some kind of schizophrenia, because, I mean, just to describe the experience in an open vision, it's almost like it's like a dream a little bit, but except for you're fully awake and looking. And the thing that I think is interesting in explaining is as I was experiencing, and I could focus on the vision or I could focus on what I was doing, which I was actually jogging at the time. So I could look at my surrounding in what I'd call the natural, or I could look into this spiritual reality that seemed to be real and happening without my, you know, without me trying to contribute to it or force anything. It's just, and so that all was very shocking to someone that believed that God wasn't real. So
I can imagine. And yeah, if you were an atheist and then you're jogging, then you see this vision, I can understand why you might have thought that. But what a powerful thing to see. And wow, it's very lucky as well to see such a thing. It must have been quite a shock, but also, I guess you couldn't really explain it when you first saw it, I'd guess.
I did not have a language for it. I didn't have a box for it. I had a job that I was working 70 hours a week. And you know, my life was like consumed by so many other things. And I was like, what is really this? And I mean, but, you know, just to kind of paint the picture, I grew up and had, you know, just a lot of hard stuff that really worked at my heart, creating a lot of hardness in my life. And looking back, that stuff's easy to see. For me, atheism wasn't a helpful thing. It was something I was doing kind of to defend myself. It was, not saying that's true for everyone, but for me, it really was. I really had a hard time and lost my dad to suicide. Lost my brother to suicide later on, and was really feeling like if there was a God, he was probably pretty mean and didn't want to be around me or didn't want anything to do with me. And so this vision was pretty epic in this sudden like shift in understanding that I think Jesus actually likes me. Like he doesn't even just love me. Like he actually likes me. and he sees something in me that I'm not seeing at all. So, that kind of brought me into, what is a lot of Christians call it a relationship with Jesus. And, he had this whole thing planned out. It was pretty amazing. Like the next couple of weeks, I ended up at a church, hadn't been in a church since I was 9 years old. So it was like, I had no idea what was going on in the worship. I didn't know what, they were playing music and it was very simple. And I was a musician. So I was like trying to figure out what are these guys doing? It was just such a funny experience for me. But then the guy got up there and he talked about relationship with Jesus, which I had never heard a Christian talk about that before. And so it was like I had been set up. I was like, okay, like you really wanted me to understand something here, like you're really trying to speak to me directly. And that kind of changed everything for me and set me on a path that ended up being more and more encounters. One of your other questions about what is an encounter to me, I would say, yes, an open vision is an awesome encounter. That's a dramatic experience. I think there are plenty of those, but there's also little things that at this point I realize really matter. As I began to have encounters with God, I realized that I'd had them before, like all my life in different little ways, even when I was a kid. So an encounter to me, I just define it as any moment where you just absolutely know that God is real. Like there's no good explanation. So it could be subjective, but it can be objective as well. Like some people have like healing experiences and those kind of, all of that, everything counts. I want to lower the bar, not raise it, because, God is active in our lives. And when we're able to kind of just entertain that idea, then we start to cultivate a deeper relationship with him, which is awesome.
Oh, that's so beautiful. And I can feel as you speak, it's from the heart. I would like to say I really admire your bravery in your book to kind of share these difficult experiences that you had as a child. And I lost a friend myself to suicide. So I can totally empathize, and to lose close family members like that. I really appreciate that your honesty in the book. And I'm sure our readers will as well, which I'll put a link to it. We'll talk about it a bit further in the podcast. But the way you say it can be different things, because I guess it could be personal to different people and in different ways. Do you think, I'm just listening to you as we speak now, you said you had encounters from when you were younger, I'm just wondering, do you think you may have like kind of blocked them out or kind of denied them a bit, just to kind of as a coping mechanism until you were ready to have them?
Oh yeah. All of the above. I think, I remember my first like encounter. I don't know if the Lord reminded me of it or how I remembered it, but I mean, I was 6 years old and I don't have a lot of memories from back then. But I don't know if it was my first one or anything like that, but I just remember my mom, who's a Baptist and super sweet lady, she's just wonderful. She was teaching me how to pray. And she said, you know, when you pray, you have to like name every single person and all this stuff. And as a 6-year-old, I just felt very overwhelmed. I was like, oh my gosh, that is a lot of work. You know, I don't even remember people's names very well. And anyway, so I was just getting overwhelmed and anxious from that idea. And I didn't know it then, but the Holy Spirit spoke inside of me and basically just said, he gave me a, like this funny little, he's funny. He's fun. I'm just telling you, like he's a good guy. And I've loved sharing my life with him, but in this time he made me laugh because he said, why don't you just say God bless everybody in the world? And I was like, so it made me laugh because I was like, can I do that? You know? And, but I love just like, you know, I mean, especially looking back, knowing that, oh wow, that was really the Holy Spirit, like utilizing his like kindness to reach me and help me like feel like, you know, I didn't have to just, live in that anxious way. And, it wasn't like to, you know, dishonor my mom or anything like that. I think in that sense, he really loved what she was saying. And, but, you know, he just wanted to make it so that I could manage it personally. So I love that he, just cared about me in that little, my little 6-year-old situation there, you know.
Hello, dear listeners, and I'm asking for your help now. Please help us to continue making great content for listeners everywhere. So we've been doing the show now for 3 years, and we need help to build it so that we can help even more people. A little bit of inspiration goes a long way, and you just don't know how a episode may inspire someone to make some positive changes for their life. Why do I need your help? Well, you can now sponsor the show for as little as $3 a month, and you can cancel it at any time. If you just go to the show notes, you will see a link there on how to sponsor the show, or go to shamanichealings.earth and look at the page that says sponsor the show, and you can find more details there. Oh, that's a lovely story, and yeah, to bless everyone, it was a simple solution, but also I kind of like opened the door a bit to you, because like you said, trying to remember everyone's name and things would be overwhelming for a child. Of course, definitely as an adult, I sometimes forget people's names as well, so I can completely relate to that, definitely. We did have a previous guest on the show, Rich Lewis, and he did this wonderful book about centering prayer, where you kind of like sit, and he sits like 3 times a day for about 20 minutes and kind of completely be in the present moment. And that's his way of accessing his connection with God. And I can really relate to that too. The reason I bring this up is my question is, when you were jogging, to me, that's a kind of form of mindfulness and you're kind of really in the present. Do you think that helped you access your connection with Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit by being kind of more present, or you don't think that was a factor?
No, I do. Yeah. Beautiful, brilliant way of putting that. And I do feel like meditation is critically important to the Christian life, to all of our lives. You know, so I love the title of this podcast and everything. I mean, it's just so realistic. We need that. Our world is crazy.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
There's so much going on, you know, and if we don't make time to just kind of be silent and hear and all that kind of stuff, then you know, anxiety and stuff like that gets over top of us. And so, or at least in my experience, but yeah, so I do, practice, and it's funny, like all of my experiences that I began to have with the Lord, you know, they taught me, Christianity. So I kind of have my own denomination in a way, you know, I mean, that's scary for Christians to think about, but you know, I mean, I'm not going off of someone else's faith. It's like, this isn't my pastor's faith. This isn't my parents' faith. It's my experiences with the real God. I love theology. I love reading about, you know, other people's ideas of God. And I love, you know, all of that, but I love that God is so personal that he would teach me. And so you know, and what he's taught me, of course, I just end up with this desire to like, please, Lord, let me give this to other people. And so I even do a podcast that I think a lot of people use for yoga. I've had some people contact me. And so I walk people through just like some questions, kind of like the contemplative prayer. I love those models. You just, you know, you try to center yourself and through different questions that will kind of disarm yourself and allow you to be open to, you know, Jesus, Holy Spirit, and Father God. And so I walk people through that. In our lives, we have so many things that happen to us. And a lot of times we can kind of put those onto God. So like, for example, if we had a terrible experience with our earthly dad, then in some ways it might limit our ability to perceive who Father God is, you know. So if he's our father, then is he like my dad, you know, because my dad wasn't that great or something like that, you know. So, I mean, it might be important to kind of release your own dad, like through forgiveness and or through, you know, just kind of working out, like, what am I believing about my dad that wouldn't help me with my relationship with God? And some of that stuff can be kind of complicated and really you would want to find a counselor for, but you know, just the easy on the surface kind of stuff is the kind of thing that I try to do in that podcast.
Well, and what's your podcast called, Joshua, for the sake of our listeners so they can tune into it?
That's Abundant Encounters, and it's meditative. There's a, you know, the light music in the background. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we read some scriptures and then go into an activation. So it's not just talk. It's also like, you know, go ahead and experience God based on what you just heard kind of thing, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. Oh, brilliant. Okay. I'll also put a link in the show notes so people can access that. Can you talk us through an encounter and how to experience one? I'm no, that's, everyone's going to have a different experience as a guest, but is there any way that you could explain or talk us through one if you wouldn't mind?
Yeah, I don't mind at all. I think, you know, so any moment you have where you know that God is real is a real encounter, but there's some awesome like invitations in the scriptures. There's a Colossians 3, 1 has a really cool invitation that I believe leads to an encounter. And I could just kind of read through this.
Yes, please.
Take that long. So Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. These are like for, you know, very specifically for Christians. And I get that, you know, it's like the surrendering approach to Christ. This is why we are to yearn for all that is above, for that's where Christ sits enthroned at the place of all power, honor, and authority. So in that, you are seated in heavenly places. That's a crazy reality. Like, so you're in two places at one time, you know, and that's hard to understand, but it is what the scripture says. So it says in the second verse here, it says, yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. And so there's this invitation there to basically practice your seated position in heavenly places now. And even it's pulling out like the importance of that, like in your everyday life and your, so, you know, in just reading in that scripture, you can kind of imagine yourself in heavenly places. Maybe you've heard about heaven a little bit. Maybe it's like, you know, you've got the elders around the throne or something. You've got the sea of glass. Whatever you're picturing is going to be relevant to your personal experience with it. And you picture all that and just kind of take your time and engage with it. Be present. Don't, you know, you're not trying to accomplish something. You're just trying to be there. And so in that, you know, you're utilizing your imagination, which is something that God actually created. So it's super, you know, I mean, it's very available for such a process as this. So just processing with it, you can actually begin to ask questions because God loves questions. And then you can listen to what you're hearing, and there are different ways that you can discern whether it's actually real or not. You know, you can actually you know, filter it through the scriptures. Does it sound like something God would say? Or you can actually, if you feel like it's very directional or there's something so specific or something about it that just feels confusing or something like that, sometimes you can just easily flush it and be like, I don't know what I just experienced, but it wasn't the Lord, you know. But sometimes you can kind of, you know, take it another step and just, you know, ask a friend, ask a family member, hey, this is what I felt. I had this, you know, I was doing this meditation and I felt like this is what I heard the Lord say to me. And, you know, and just kind of get some accountability around you for that purpose, just to weigh it out. And, you know, if people are like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I would, you know, I could see God saying that to you, then maybe you're getting a real directional word, which is exciting, but can be complicated. And that's not all God says. A lot of times, and this is a question I use often in the show, I'll say, you know, because it's a centering question. I mean, it just gets you there. It puts you right there with the Lord, and you say, you know, Father God, how do you feel about me? You know, feel is very specific, and just like, it's not like, hey, what do you think about me? Which is different, because it would be like, well, this definitive, you know, list of things that I think about you. But the feel aspect can just kind of get you emotionally engaged. So your soul, your spirit, everything's trying to, you know, not compartmentalized, but on the same place at the same time, like, and you're listening. And I mean, you know, some people get massive, you know, breakthroughs and moments and encounters with God, even just asking that question, like, how do you feel about me? And then, you know, just for example, a lot of people have the experience where God says, I love you, or, you know, you're wonderful, or like, and, you know, of course, those things do line up with scripture. God had a massive value for each of us because he chose to send his son, Jesus, to die on a cross. You know, I mean, like the sacrifice involved in that is so crazy to think about, but it was because he had a massive value for you. So he bankrupted heaven just so he could get to us, you know, those things, like, so it does line up with scripture. So if you're hearing that, you can write it down on your mirror and you can rehearse it. Like, I am wonderful. I am, you know, I am loved by him and all those kind of things. And you can walk that out. Like, you can wake up in the morning and not feel like, you know, maybe you're having a hard time, you're feeling like you're a piece of dirt or you're not very valuable or something like that. If you hear that from God, that's going to change that immediately. And hearing it from God instead of like a minister or something like that is so powerful. I mean, because, or it can be, you know, it's our choice. You know, we put our values where we want them. But if we choose to value that, it, you know, I mean, it's just amazing, because it's going to draw us deeper into a relationship that is full of peace, full of love, full of joy. That's what heaven has to offer. I mean, so, you know, I mean, even practically for the businessman or something like that, you know, you go into a business meeting and everybody's freaking out about the, you know, whatever current events are going on, and you're sitting there with tremendous peace because you just spent some time with the Lord that morning asking him how he felt about you, then those things can be very practical. And, you know, whose advice is going to be really valuable in that room? Probably the one that's sitting there in peace and not stressed out about the situation. And so, you know, there's some really practical, you know, advantages to just spending more time with God and being meditative, being present, and allowing God to have a voice. And that one last thing, but the scriptures say a lot that my sheep hear my voice. So it is not weird to hear from God. In fact, it's weird not to hear from God. You know, you got to be crazy if you're not hearing voices, you know? So, so he wants to speak to us. I've had a lot of wonderful moments where he's spoken internally. And, you know, some people have the audible experiences and all that kind of stuff. And that's amazing. Like, there's no cap there, you know, there's like whatever God wants to do with us. We can decide that we want to value it and allow it.
Oh, I really feel what you're saying. And also to kind of hear God, we've got to be quiet or kind of learn to kind of control the excessive chatter that we have in our mind. And if we've got a limiting belief that we aren't lovable, or it could be any number of things, I can see how that could have an impact on someone if they've taken the time to sit quietly and connect with God, and then they hear something positive, it could really change someone's life around and for the better. It's I think especially nowadays we just have so many distractions that are kind of taking us from being with ourselves. The Holy Spirit is another description could be our higher self. Is that a fair assumption? It's kind of the, oh, is that the same thing, the higher self, the Holy Spirit?
I think, you know, semantics to me, I think it gets in the way so many times. And if that is really the true definition that you feel connection to with the Lord, then he leads us in all truth. So we have zero to worry about. It's really not on us to figure all this stuff out. So if I love, you know, I've got friends that are Buddhist and things like that, and we're not like, you know, at odds with each other. And I'm so thankful, you know, for the maturity in that. You know, we've got enough division in our world. There's more that connects us and unites us than divides us. You know, I mean, for me personally, I can no longer be an atheist. I can no longer believe that God is not real because I've had these experiences that have just basically told me otherwise. But that doesn't mean I'm offended by atheists. Like, I can even actually appreciate who they are and what they're after and those kind of things. And sometimes I can see the pain in them that I had in me, and I can speak into that, you know, too, because I'm not trying to look for ways that we are different. I'm trying to look for, you know, things that connect us. That to me feels like ministry is love. You know, I would love the hell out of anyone that will let me, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you know what I mean, because hell isn't fun for anyone. I don't, you know, and I think, like, obviously there's the idea that there's this eternal damnation, but I feel like hell's available within our lives too. There's, you know, I mean, we can have some pretty rotten experiences. And, you know, being as someone that has dealt with a lot of suicidal thoughts and ideations and stuff like that personally, like, I've experienced some pretty dark places. You know, I've suffered with addictions that had more control over me than I had over them, and those kind of things. And some of that stuff is just so difficult and so hard that, you know, we need a constant supply from somewhere. And I really do believe that heaven is offering that. So any way that I can help someone connect to that, like, heaven isn't short on encounters, but it's not short on peace. You know, I mean, and Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So there's not a shortage on peace. It's just how much we want to receive. So it doesn't matter how many times we're getting hit with these anxious situations or really difficult things that we will experience and what the Bible calls a fallen world. Like, you know, when we experience those things, there's a real God that cares about us in those situations and will give us kind of a deposit, you know, of peace or joy or, you know, and joy, come on. I mean, like, who doesn't want more joy? Like, seriously, like, you know, I'm definitely not talking about the lemon face, you know, Christianity, like, where everybody's mad about stuff all the time. Like, thank God, you know, God, the reality of God is that he's wonderful. He created us. He cares about us. He's you know, one third of heaven's righteousness, peace, and joy, according to the scriptures, one third of heaven is joy. It's righteousness, peace, and joy. It's his righteousness, not ours. So there's just so much coming from him that towards us that is available. It's like, here, have some abundance, you know, have some, you know, have a life that isn't just constantly not enough for either you or for whoever else, you know, like, experience life in a way that is, you know, just like you're an ambassador from another location. Like, heaven is you're seated there, you're present here, but you're an ambassador of this, you know. You're carrying this into the world that you're in, instead of like a lack of or whatever.
Wonderful. To me, God is love, and what you're saying, it is about connection and love. I'm really intrigued to know what, forgive my pronunciation, it's Sozo counseling. What is Sozo?
It's pronounced Sozo, really close.
Sozo, thank you.
Sozo is a Greek word, so, you know, good luck. But Sozo is a Greek word that means all three: saved, healed, delivered. And it's really important. We see it in the scriptures a lot when there's a salvation or something like that, but it's actually three things. So it's saved, healed physically or spiritually or emotionally, and delivered from, you know, like, oppression, from, you know, bad forces or demonic forces or anything like that, you know? So there's those three things that are present in that. And I believe that encounters with the Lord, just like in the scriptures, when we really encounter God, like he sozos us, he gives us total salvation, like not just a part of salvation. It's not a get out of hell free card or however people say that or something like that. It's like total salvation. And so a lot of times it does take this in my counseling sessions, and I'm a lay counselor, but in my counseling sessions, I really facilitate those prayers with people so that they can hear from God, and I help them through that. And I love it if people haven't had an encounter or something like that, or they just haven't had an experience with God in a really long time. You know, a lot of people, the first and last experience they have is at salvation, especially with Christians, you know, so they'll have the salvation experience. They'll accept Jesus into their heart. And those things that's amazing. Like, but that's not all there is. And so, you know, I don't want people to feel like this Christian experience is like this trap into this desert, you know, oasis where you just have to, like, you know, God is, he's so good to us, and he wants us to, you know, he actually did the desert season for us. Like, he gave us that. he went into the desert himself and suffered through that. So there's, you know, it's not necessary for us to have to redo what he did. You know, he did it. So good. You know, I mean, if we're in a desert season, or you're in a desert season, then you may need a sozo. You may need to get those experiences back, because there's a lot of Christians out there that use that language. I'm in a desert season. I'm like, why don't you get into a desert season? I'm not trying to be insensitive, but add an S to that, you know, because there is too much goodness available for a Christian, a child of God. You know, that's what the Bible says. We're sons and daughters, like we are, you know, he is our father. Like, that's, you know, we're not begging our dad for something. Like, he wants us to have our inheritance. He paid for it. Like, so anyway, it's, to me, I'm just like, if there's so much more, then I want other people to, you know, have access to that. At one point in my walk, I guess, or, you know, my journey, I felt like the Lord actually spoke to me, and I was speaking at a service, and at the end of the service, I didn't even get to share it with anyone, but I felt like he said to me, like, Josh, you can give that away. And I knew what he meant. He, you know, it was like the whole phrase, you can give that away, was like pregnant with this whole other thing. And it was, and that was, you know, encounters. Like, I had so many encounters. I had learned to appreciate encounters. I had learned to steward and, you know, collect them, kind of like people do with like gratitude. They want to increase in gratitude, then they write down what they're grateful for. Well, I was having all these little experiences with God where I was like, oh, that definitely happened. Like, I avoided that car crash then, or, you know, or anything that like really showed me that God was really there, and made me feel that way, I would just write it down, whether it was subjective or objective. And and in that process, I started to realize, like, wow, there, I can do a lot more of this. So at this point, that's why I wrote the book. That's why I do the podcast. I'm not trying to make any money or, you know, thrive in my, you know, in my ability to minister, get my name real big or something like that. I just really, really care about people that want the experiences that I've had. You know, if I can give it to you, I want to be a part of that. I want, you know, in any way that I can, a facilitator.
Wow. It sounds like what you do is of integrity, and it's from the heart, and it's kind of what you need to do. Like you said, you're not doing it to kind of be big shot. You're doing it from the heart. Read about 50% of your book earlier today. From what I understand, make sure I understand this right, sometimes you said that you can kind of, like, because I've had something quite similar, you can sometimes feel like a hug or kind of, because right. I have that, and I can't actually see anything, but I sometimes feel like there's something close, and it doesn't feel bad. It feels like good. So I guess that could be classed as something godly.
Definitely. I think that can totally be the Lord, especially in, I mean, you can kind of identify, you know, like some of what the Lord is because of the way he is. He calls himself kind. He calls himself loving, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I mean, in that, like, we can identify his touch, you know, but yeah, I've had some real moments where I felt the physical, touch of God. I've felt him hug me. You know, I told you about my past, so there's a lot of brokenness there. Yeah. I really needed a very real hug from God, and he was not like, no, I can't give that to you. You know, I mean, it didn't happen. Like, I didn't just demand it, and he gave it to me. I didn't know I needed it. But at one point, and I was in a service, in a Christian service, and there's a faith healer there. and in that atmosphere of faith that just seems so thick and so tangible anyway, you know, I had my eyes closed at one point, and I felt a hand come over on my shoulder. And I remember that one really specifically. And I looked to see, you know, if the hand was there, and it wasn't. But even in my closet time, you know, with prayer and those kind of things, I just remember one time, you know, being hugged tightly, and you know, those are also like amazing, cherished moments in my experience with God. That's happened like at several different occasions, but you know, I mean, that first time I remember like just something breaking off of me, because I don't, you know, I mean, just sometimes our beliefs are like deeper than the surface. Like, we don't even know what all is like holding them in there and keeping them, you know, stubbornly. It just feels like stubbornness or something, but you know, cause it keeps, for our personal experience, it just feels like it just keeps coming up, and I don't know, I just keep feeling this way, or start repeating, and you know, some psychologists call it looping or whatever, like in that. So, but for me, I was just feeling rejected over and over and over again. And all these different situations. So I knew I had a problem with rejection, because I was like, this is, you know, this is just happening in all these different, you know, places where there's no way this many people are against me. It's just not, you know, they probably aren't thinking very much about me at all. You know, I mean, not one way or another, you know, so they're definitely not intentionally like against me. So I was just like, this is irrational. There's just something here. And, so I knew all that was going on, but as the Father was hugging me, he didn't let me go. And I just felt like I was like beyond 30 seconds. And, I think it's like 20 seconds or something where there's some science out there about how, you know, you feel the real connection after about 20 seconds of a hug. So, I mean, it was just like, and I couldn't deny it. I opened my eyes at one point and didn't see anyone. It wasn't an open vision like I'd had in the past, but I could feel it, and I could feel it, like just continue. And I was like, wow, I'm still feeling it. Even though my mind and my eyes would tell me that this isn't actually happening, I'm still feeling it. And now it was a really powerful exchange of like just breaking that that rejection off of me, you know. And I remember from that point on, it was just different. I could walk into a situation and just, you know, and I was free all of a sudden. I didn't even know I was bound up, but I was free to just kind of feel like, you know, I don't know if this person's against me or not, but you know, like what's really here and what am I actually doing? And I was more able to be present, actually, now that I think about it.
That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. And I feel it's important that I share with the listeners, if you wouldn't mind, about your book and also your website. So if anyone wants to work with you or get any further guidance on this, if you wouldn't mind, Joshua, that would be fantastic.
Awesome. Yeah, I have a book that I love, actually. I had a great editor that really, you know, she worked me. She was very honest. And so, you know, the first book I gave her was like so long and everything else. But, you know, she's like, all right, this isn't flowing for me. Anyway, and so she took me through an alchemy or something, you know, process that got me to a place where I ended up with a really good book. So I do highly recommend the book. It's called Encounters, Pressing Into Your Abundant Heavenly Supply. And if you look up my name, and if you can spell it right, then you'll find it. Marcen Gill is a three syllables. That kind of makes it easier. It's MarcenGill. Anyway, that'll take you to all my stuff. That book's great. There's exercises in there that'll help you connect with Jesus, with Holy Spirit, with Father God. There is a podcast that I do weekly. I took a little break recently, but anyway, there's tons of them on there. I think like over 90, and each one of them has an activation that I believe can help get you free and help you feel more connected, which I do feel like is a primary goal of everything I've done, is just connection. We need to be connected. So that's mostly it. If you're really struggling, you're like, I've never had an encounter, I've never felt like God is real, then we do have services for counseling, and I will walk you through, facilitate with you like prayers that'll help you feel connected. And a lot of people have had real experiences in that, which has been very encouraging to me, obviously, but I'm so glad that people can come to me and God can use me to do stuff like that.
What a wonderful thing to do, and to help people in so many ways. And it's been a real grace and gift to have you on the show today. Joshua, is there anything else you would like to share before you get on with your day? Or
yeah, I'll pray for you guys. God bless everybody that's listening to this. And I just thank you, Lord, that your abundance is available to each of us. And I pray that everybody would just be blessed and experience you and would having tremendous encounters, like just on the regular. They would be able to connect even with the history that they have with you, Lord. And in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you so much, Joshua. I can feel the warmth when you say that. I kind of feel like this warmth around me. So beautiful words. And I'm sure the energy from your words will reach a dear listener. So listeners, do stay tuned. As always, there'll be a meditation inspired by today's wonderful talk with Joshua Marsengill. So Joshua, thank you so much, and have a lovely day.
Thank you. It was so much fun being with you, Jane.
Oh, thank you so much. Bye-bye. Take care.
So do check out Joshua's amazing book. I will put a link in the bio and also on my online bookstore. Now it's meditation time.
We're going to learn how to be still. And maybe some resistance comes up when I say those words. I can completely empathize, because it sometimes can feel like a waste of time, can't it, being still? But it's so essential for your connection with the divine, God, higher forces, the universe, whatever it is that you believe in. The only way to access higher vibrational light is to be still. For if we're too busy, we miss the subtleties of life. We miss our chance to connect with something greater and bigger than who we are. Be that God, the divine, whatever that means to you and your individual practice. So, from a very calming place. So as always, just press pause if you're listening to this and you're doing something busy. It's important that you can be still, that you can let go, and you can learn. And you can learn to be at peace. As you inhale, as you exhale, in and out through the nostrils, allowing the breath to be calm, to be connected, to be one with who you are. And the good news, we're not going to do this for too long. We're going to do it for 2 minutes from now. So I invite you to be still. Resist the temptation to fidget, to move. And if the mind tries to lasso some of your thoughts and take you somewhere in your imagination, I ask you, for the sake of this meditation, to be completely and utterly present. And a way to do that is just to focus your energy or your observation on how the lungs expand on the inhalation and how they move in and up on the exhalation. And that is all you need to do, dear one. Just be. Again, if the mind starts to lasso you into thought patterns, just think, I, or rather just be connected with the movement of the lungs as it moves up and down, up and down. Up and down. Just allow yourself to be. Nothing to do, nowhere to go, but simply be where you are right now. So start to take some slow, calm, deep breaths in and out through the nostrils as you slowly come back into the moment, come back into the room. And did you feel a connection with something higher than yourself? Don't worry if you don't. I invite you to do this meditation for at least 40 days. To see how and where, or rather be, learn to be with yourself in the present moment. So thank you, dear one, for listening. There are so many more meditations on this podcast. Each meditation is inspired by the guests that we have. So there's about another 82 meditations on this podcast. So do listen to some more. They're always at the end of each podcast. So thank you, dear one, for listening, and have a wonderful day. So thank you so much, dear listeners, for taking the time to listen and support our show today. And if you want any more information on what we have to offer, check out
shamanichealings.earth for more information.